Let's begin by focusing on our breath for a few breaths. And with a deep in breath. Last week, I promised we would do some breathing exercises this morning, which is called pranayama. Pranayama. And I thought we would start getting ready for the breathing exercises by doing some eye exercises to get us centered. Have you ever done eye exercises?
I don't think so.
Would you be willing to give it a try?
Of course.
Good. These exercises will assist us on our path for personal spiritual transformation. Eye exercises for eye strengthening. So what we're going to do is, here's an eye. I'll show you on the diagram here what we're going to do, and then we'll just try it. So the first eye exercise is to have the eyes go up and down, and we'll do that 10 times. Are you ready? Let's begin. And take a breath. And it's good to move through the eye exercises quickly. The next exercise is back and forth. Are you ready? We'll do 10. Here we go. Take a breath. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Who's here? Hi, Maggie.
Good morning.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi. Good.
How are you,
Sam? Good.
Nice to see you on a rainy day.
Yeah. It's actually really good to be out on a rainy day to get the little bit of sunlight that's coming through.
Well,
you know,
some ultraviolet rays and. I was telling Sam that last week I promised we would start this session with some pranayama, which is breathing exercises.
Okay, sounds great.
And we're preparing for that by doing some eye exercises. Eye exercises to get us relaxed. We just did this eye exercise. Now if you'll watch my eyes, I'm going to demonstrate. I'm going to move my eyes back and forth 10 times. Ready? Here goes. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
So we do it rapidly to exercise the muscles. All right?
Okay.
You all like to try? So
sure.
Take a deep breath. And open your eyes wide and begin. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Take a breath. Now we're going to do on the diagonal. Right. On the diagonal. So we take a breath. And begin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Take a breath. Now we're going to do the diagonal on the other diagonal. Take a breath. And begin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Take a breath. This you might find a little more interesting. We're going to rotate our eyes from the very top to the very bottom and the sides. I'm going to do that 10 times. Are you ready? Take a breath. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Take a breath. Now we're going to do the same exercise, but in the other direction. So take a breath. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Take a breath. Let's put our hands together and keep them up. You're going to put your hands on your eyes so you may want to remove your glasses. So when your hands are really hot, you can make them good and hot, then put them on your eyes to relax your eyes. Some recommend these eye exercises during meditation at the beginning of it to relax your eyes for meditation. We're now going to practice some pranayama, breathing exercises, which is a little more energetic. Okay. And breathing exercises are called pranayama. Prana is our life spirit. When the life spirit escapes, the body dies. The practice of life spirit is the practice of breathing. Breathing pranayama. We're going to do three exercises. We'll start with what's called Ujjayi breathing, or the sound of the ocean. Are either one of you familiar with that? Some people meditate by focusing on the breath. And if you do Ujjayi breathing, when you focus on the breath, you may find it more effective. And the way you do Ujjayi breathing is to slightly close your throat. So I'm going to breathe normally, and then I'll switch to Ujjayi breathing, and perhaps you can hear me. So normal. Ujjayi breathing. Try it. Yes, light. That's it. Gently restrict the throat. Got it? Are you with me, Sam? So normal breathing is, Ujjayi breathing is,
Okay, you got it.
We're going to do 10 Ujjayi breaths, and we're going to visualize the breath flowing in us and out through us as we do Ujjayi breath. Are you ready? Let's begin. Slow it down. You'll notice when you do Ujjayi breathing that the breath naturally tends to slow down and go slower and slower, and the body relaxes. It feels so peaceful. It's a wonderful place to be. For our next exercise, we're going to incorporate Ujjayi breathing into breath retention. And we're just going to do this for 3 cycles because I don't want you to get out of breath. After some practice, one would go 10, 20, 50 cycles. But in the beginning, these practices should encourage relaxation. So we'll just try 3. I'll demonstrate the way it's going to work. So in breath retention, you'll breathe in with the Ujjayi breath and hold it and count to 10. And then fully exhale and count to 10. Breathe in and count to 10. You got it? Now, if 10 is too long for you, then cut it shorter. Yeah, I'm used to doing it, so. But it may feel like you're out of breath, you can't breathe.
As far as you're comfortable.
So you can try for 10. And it's good to put your hand on your abdomen when you do this, because we want to have a full breath, so it's going. Feel your belly filling up as you count to 10, and then feel your belly going all the way out as you count to 10. We'll go ahead and do it 3 cycles. And when you finish 3 cycles, open your eyes. How did that feel for you?
I started to wonder if I was doing it right on the out-breath. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to release all the air and then count 10. So the release would be to a count of 10. I don't know if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I experienced the same thing. When I did the out-breath, I started counting.
So do I let it all out and then count?
And then I remembered, no, the point is retention, and so I need to wait till it's all out
and then
start
counting.
And
that's what I thought.
Okay. So I adjusted it myself when I did it and just left the breath out a little longer. There's no wrong way to do these things. The point is to experience extended having the breath in and extended having the breath out.
Okay.
And see what that is like for you. So let's just do one more cycle and let's do 12. When we get it all the way in, count to 12. And when it's all the way out, count to 12.
Okay.
Let's just see what to see about. Let's put our hands on our belly to help. So, with a deep in-breath. And open your eyes when you're finished.
You want us to do 3?
Pardon?
3 again?
Well, I just said 1, but whatever. You can do these on your own. If you're comfortable with the breath retention, you can do it this way. All the way in.
1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,005.
So. But the point is to see what's going on with yourself. See how you feel. See how you're reacting with all the breath in. See what's going on with your body. And then all the way out, which is sometimes we hold our breath when we go swimming underwater and so on. But to push it all out and experience that may be a different experience. And again, I recommend doing that with the Ujjayi breath. 1,001, 1,002, so on. So we're just having a flavor of it today. All right, we'll do one more exercise called alternate nostril breathing. Have you heard of that? Oh, yes. Have you done it before?
Once or twice.
Just another practice. We'll begin by holding up our preferred hand, whichever hand it is, doesn't matter, and taking the first two fingers and bending them down and grabbing them with our thumb so that these two fingers stand up. There we go. And then release the thumb.
Can't easily do that.
Well, whatever you can do, but we need at least...
Because they're not going to stand up straight on the side if I do that.
Yeah, well then use your middle finger.
Like that?
And your thumb. You can do that as well.
Okay.
There you go. Whatever works for you. I like it like that, but... There's also finger exercises we could do to strengthen our fingers. Yeah, that's fine. So, this again has to do with breath retention. And we can count to 10 or not, maybe without the thousands, just to try. So, we'll begin. Watch me first, then you'll do it by closing one nostril and breathing in. And retaining, counting at 10. Switching and letting it out. and counting to 10 on the upper. Breathing in, counting to 10, switching, breathing out, counting to 10. You got it? All right. Take a breath. Now, ready to give it a try? So we'll close the finger nostril and take a deep in breath. Count to 10. Switch. Breathe out. Count to 10. Breathe in. No, don't switch yet. No, no, no. Breathe in. Count to 10. Now switch. Breathe out. Count to 10. All right, let's stop for a moment. Are we okay with this? So again, I'll demonstrate. We close one nostril, breathe in, hold it, and we switch, and breathe out. Now we're not ready to switch yet. We breathe in, count to 10, switch. So you switch at the top.
Right, okay, got it.
And then breathe out, got it?
So you switch when you're starting to breathe out?
Right, so we breathe in, hold it, and switch at the top of your breath, and then breathe out. So we're not going to switch until we breathe in. Breathe in, and at the top we switch, and breathe out. You got it? Let's try one more. All right? So close your with the finger nostril. Breathe in and hold it. Count to 10. Switch. Breathe out. Count to 10. Breathe in. Count to 10. Switch. Breathe out. Count to 10. And take a breath.
It certainly allows us to feel the appreciation of our breath.
These are wonderful exercises to take us within. One of the challenges of meditation is our minds can sometimes distract us when we wish to remain one-pointed. With the breathing exercises, once you've done it enough so you're comfortable with it, not struggling to remember what to do, it truly takes you then. You can do these breathing exercises at any time. Maybe not in this one in public, but you can do the breathing exercises when you're standing in line at the grocery store. Just do your chucky breath. It's impossible to become annoyed when you're standing in the longest line at the grocery store if you're doing ujjayi breathing or breath retention. You may even discover you hope the line slows down so you can stay in the beautiful state. Questions before we go on?
It's a good tool to keep your mental mind focused.
Yes, when your mind starts, you can develop a habit of doing ujjayi breath. I will often do ujjayi breathing in the car, since I don't want my mind wandering around. I still have to maintain focus on the road. Okay? All right. Our subject is Sri Swami Satchidananda's commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. Our primary focus will be on verses with practical spiritual advice. So I'm skipping some of the verses that reflect the ancient Indian consciousness. For example, their belief in reincarnation and all the various facets of that, which might be interesting if that is your belief system, but is not as useful if it isn't. So we'll skip some of those things. Today we're going to look at chapter 2, the Yoga of Wisdom, sloka 42 and 45. So we've come quite a ways in this. And these are some of my favorite slokas coming up here. Here we go. In flowery discourses, the unwise focus on the letter of the scriptures and say there is nothing else. In flowery discourses, the unwise focus on the letter of scriptures and say there is nothing else. This goes in contrast to some of our fellow Christians. I think from the Bible Belt, there are certain groups who believe that the Bible is the Word of God and every word is to be honored and holy, and that's it. And here, yet in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, in flowery discourses, the unwise focus on the letter of scriptures and say there is nothing else. With minds full of desires and heaven as their highest goal, they speak mostly of rites and rituals, which they believe will bring pleasure and power. This was written 3,000 years ago. Nothing much has changed, has it? With minds full of desires. These are selfish desires. And we've learned from our prior study of the Bhagavad Gita that selfish desires are something that get in the way of our experiencing our true self, our Christ consciousness, selfish desires, the idea that there is an I separate from a you, and we are not one unity. With minds full of desires and heaven as their highest goal, in other words, they desire an outcome. They act with outcomes in mind to achieve heaven, rather than acting as spirit guides us for the sake of the act. Full of desires and heaven as their highest goal, they speak mostly of rites and rituals. Well, we do this, and we do that, and we go to heaven, which they believe will bring pleasure and power. We'll go through these verses and then the commentary. Those deeply attached to pleasures and power are not able to fix their minds one-pointed in meditation and enjoy samadhi. Samadhi is an experience of our original state, a divine unity, a oneness, and not a separation. Deeply attached to pleasures and power are not able to fix their minds one-pointed in meditation. The breathing exercises and the eye exercises help us keep our focus one-pointed to assist us in our other meditation practices.
Do you do the eye exercises pretty regularly, or how useful do you find them?
I used to do them every morning preceding my meditation. I have a different form of meditation now, so I am not doing them currently. Mm-hmm. When I was doing a sitting meditation, I just did them every morning, and it somehow helped to take me away from whatever mind things were coming up from yesterday, the day before, or what might happen tomorrow. So, with all these practices, we try them and see what works for us. The breathing exercise I do all the time because I can. Good question. The goal is to be able to fix our minds one-pointed in meditation as much as we can. The three gunas. Just some background information before we do the next sloka. Do you remember the three gunas? The three gunas. Sattva, purity, balance, state, harmony, rajas, activity, restlessness, and tamas, inertia, dullness, and inactivity. In addition to our physical traits that we got through inheritance, our skin color, our physical nature, our maleness, our femaleness, we also have consciousness aspects that are inherited. In Sanskrit, they're called prakriti. Prakriti. It's our nature. We're born with a certain nature. Granted, as we grow up, our parents influence, friends, things happen, influence. And the combination of our nature and what happens in our lives result in our nature today. Our nature today. The gunas are what we inherit. Some people inherit a very pure, balanced state, a harmonious nature. You can feel that energy in them. It predominates. We all have all three aspects. Some have rajas as their primary nature. You know, people are always busy, can't stop a moment. Our housekeeper's like that. My sister-in-law like that. She's always busy, always doing something. Loves to be busy. Some people have the tamas nature, which is inertia, hard to get moving, rather do nothing, are somewhat dull in their intellectual aspect and enjoy inactivity. We all have all three aspects, and some are more dominant at other times. In the morning, we may experience our rajas aspect, get moving and move it out. Or we may experience our tamas aspect when we want to stay in bed and sleep in. Some people describe themselves as night people, so their rajas nature comes out most at night and they stay up late. In the morning, their tamas nature. These are all our nature, called the gunas. Questions? We have a Briggs-Meyer test that tests other aspects of our nature. This is the Indian version of Bruce Meyer. There's only three. Only three. So those are the gunas.
You know, what came to my mind is, I mean, like you were saying, you know, there's different parts of your day, and there's some people who seem like, the term manic depressive, they're sort of like rotating like at extreme Raja and extreme Tamas.
Yes.
And then Sattva is almost like the opposite of like the manic depressive, because you've got it all.
Balanced.
Yeah.
Harmonious.
Mm-hmm.
These are parts of our nature. Sometimes one dominates most of the time in a person, another dominates, and we have all three. Just a way of discerning what others are like, so that we can gain discernment for what we are like. It's harder to discern our own nature. But through discerning what others are like, it gives us some insight into what we are like. Ah, that's my Rajas nature. Let's go for it. And this morning, as we did our breathing exercises and our eye movements, perhaps we experienced our sattva nature, experience of harmony and balance and purity. So we have some control over it. Okay? So here is Sloka 45. The Vedas discuss the three gunas, just as we talked. Arjuna. This is the Lord Krishna talking to Arjuna. The Vedas, the holy scriptures, discuss the three gunas, Arjuna. Transcend the three gunas, all of them, and you will be free of the pairs of opposites. Ever balanced, free of wanting to get or keep anything, and centered in your true self. The scriptures don't recommend you try for a sattva state, which may be your nature. Rather, to transcend the sattva state as well as the tamas and rajas state. Transcend the three gunas. I leave it to you to think or experience what that means, to transcend them all. And if you do, the scriptures promise you will be free of the pairs of opposites. We'll talk about that in a moment. Ever balance, which sounds like sattva.
Yeah.
But at a deeper level, free of wanting to get or keep anything, free of wanting to get the sattva state or to keep it. Yeah, and centered in your true self. Last one. Oh, now the commentary. Okay. Are you going to service, Maggie?
Yeah.
So we're going to close here because it's 5 to 11. And we need to honor our 5 to 11 commitment. Mm-hmm. And we can discuss the commentary next time. I discussed it a little bit. Any other questions or comments before we close? The three gunas. Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. You might start looking at yourself and seeing which is the dominant guna in your nature. And when others arise in your experience.
And yeah, just changes throughout the day too.
And as they change, yes, that's growth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Questions? Comments? We'll close with a final pranayama exercise, which is making the sound of Om. We'll begin by focusing on the breath and doing two or three ujjayi breaths. And with a deep in breath. Oh. Shanti, Shanti.